Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I'm your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And Karen is here already.
Hi, it's Jamie.
Oh, hi, Jamie. Yeah, that's right. Hers starts with a nine. Sorry.
That's okay. No, I ran in right away
here.
And sat down to call. Because I, like, literally just, well, you know it, nobody else does, but I literally just got back from seeing Star Wars, so.
Yeah.
But.
So I'm sure Karen will
wait,
be here any
Karen?
Moment, and then we can get started.
Yep. All right. I will mention,
short
while we're on
tonight.
While we're waiting, I did want to say The Magician starts tomorrow, The Magicians on Sci-Fi.
Well, good. That'll give us something to broaden our show a little bit, because right now we have three shows.
Yeah, that's okay. It's nice to not have to rush and fit stuff in and
go
everything.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Did you watch anything else this week?
Just Manifest and Emergence. Haven't had really chance
oh,
to
I
watch
did watch
anything
Emergence.
Else.
You know what? I didn't get the recap for that up, did I? No, I did not. That one was crazy. I'm trying to think if there's anything I can talk about, but nothing is coming to mind. I'm just kind of like, da 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 da.
That's okay. Here's Karen.
Yay.
Hi, you guys.
Hey.
Hello, Karen.
Another week of Fandom Access. I wait for it every week. Luckily, I don't have to wait long because it's Tuesday.
That's right.
Okay,
how you guys
sorry,
doing?
I'm looking up the title of Emergence. Good.
All right, so.
How are you?
Good. So.
You guys.
So.
How do you guys want to do this? Do you want to? You guys want to start with Doctor Who and save Star Wars for the end, or you want to do Star Wars first?
I think we should talk about Star Wars. What do you think?
Okay, we can. I just
I'm
was going to say
way.
Doctor Who because we always do it first, but I don't think it really matters one way or the other, so.
Well, what do you guys say?
Okay,
let's see
well,
what,
then I guess.
Let's talk about Star Wars since it's been
okay.
out a couple weeks and we can dispense with it.
Yeah,
Jamie just said moments ago she returned from watching Star Wars. Did you avoid spoilers until now?
Well, I didn't really look for them. I don't know. I purposely avoided them, but I don't think I really actually saw any spoilers. Now that I think about it, but to be honest, I didn't even remember. I had forgotten that I hadn't seen the other one. Like I watched the other one 2 days ago, the one before that.
What, the Force, the Last Jedi, the Force Awakens.
No,
not Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. Yeah.
The Last Jedi was the previous one. Oh,
yeah,
so you were really fresh in what happened before.
Yes.
You
but you
do
guys know I'm not
rewatch.
As huge as a Star Wars fan as. Well, I don't know if you guys are huge fans either, but I'm not, you know, I liked it a lot, and I do like it a lot, but I'm not up on a lot of it. And even though I've finally seen them all, I was, like, confused through a lot of it, trying to remember what was going on and who was who. So.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know how we want to do this, Jamie, since it's fresh in your mind. You also saw it with your family. Did your grandma go with you?
No, she can't sit in the theater. I just went with my dad because I figured he likes it, and at least maybe he could help me know what's going on because he's watched it more times than I have. But yeah, I really liked it. I mean, I think I can see why some people didn't. It was kind of in times like sappy in the sense that, you know, good prevails, and it was definitely predictable at quite a few points. But I really liked it, and I liked that it was, you know, like in the end, you know, good triumphs and all that, and I think it was okay for that. There was some, I know, they kind of went back and, I'm trying to think of the way to say it, like some of the things in it kind of were similar to certain things in I think number four, but at least in some of the other movies in that. And I think with this one, it's okay because it's like coming full circle. The fact that seven, I remember, had a lot that seemed like it was there before, which was like not good, but I didn't mind it so much in this one. But I did like it, but I wasn't, I liked that they had, Kylo Ren, Ben you know, turn in the end, but I wasn't surprised. And I think that it was pretty obvious he was going to die saving her. But I did like that he was on the good side, but some of it was a little much, like that they brought his father in long enough for him to, you know, talk to him and everything. But all in all, I really liked it. The one thing that I thought surprising, though, is I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like they've set it up so they can do more, even though they haven't officially said there's going to be more, and that's supposedly the end of the 9 movies. Did you feel like that at all? Because I feel like it was definitely left to do more.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, Disney didn't Disney didn't take over this piece of property to end it, right?
Right. But they could be all, like, series and stuff. But, I mean, I definitely could see more movies. Because the thing that I thought was surprising is, okay, obviously they had this kind of, I don't want to say exactly romance, but this sort of attraction, obviously, between Rey and what do you want to call him, Kylo Ren or Ben, whatever, this sort of attraction, and, like, he kissed her and stuff. Well, she kissed him. They kissed each other. But it was in there. But then you have Finn, obviously, who's in love with her, and sometimes I think it even seemed like that other pilot, Poe, was. It's hard to tell, but he liked that other girl. But the point is through all of it, he's like, he's got to tell her what he wants to tell her, and, I mean, they didn't come out and say it was that he loved her, but I think it, you know, he knew that. But, and I thought for a movie like this, like, if they were planning to end it, it wouldn't have made sense that they didn't resolve that. Like, they didn't even have them together at the end, like, you, so you would know he would eventually tell her. Like, it just seemed like a weird, not that it was needed necessarily, I just feel like it was one of those loose ends that wasn't completely a loose end, but it wasn't really tied up either, and it was just kind of like a weird hanging there from the middle of the movie that they never really resolved. And they didn't really show a lot. I mean, they showed some after the fact, but I don't know. It just, to me, did not seem like a final movie. Like, they could have moved on to other series and stuff, or moved on to different movie storylines in the universe, but I feel like that particular storyline was not as wrapped up as I expected it to be, I guess, if that makes sense.
What storyline, which one are you talking about specifically?
No, not, I shouldn't say storyline, I don't mean plot points, I mean, like, they're just like the relationships, their universe, just kind of what was going on in that, and how they, like, after the survival and that. I don't know. I just feel like they didn't show, like, for a last movie after, like, 9 movies, usually there's, like, more of a revolution. Like, you think of, like, Harry Potter. Not that they have to go forward in the future or anything. But with a lot of them, there's, like, kind of an ending. Like, I feel like this just kind of dropped off. Like, it could have been the end of a movie where there's another one coming. Like, it didn't feel as final to me, I guess is the way I'm saying it. But I'm not, like, such a huge, you know, Star Wars fan that I know everything, and some things may just be because I'm not, you know, as connected to it. I don't know. But it was fun. I will say the thing that I like, too, and you guys know I like the effects and look at the effects, but I don't think that what's her name? I'm, like, blanking on her name.
Ray.
When it plays Leia. I don't think that even
Carrie
at the beginning,
Fisher?
I don't think, yeah, I'm pretty sure 100% of that was digital. I don't think any of it she was alive for.
No.
At least it didn't look like it. But
Yes.
Because it wasn't good.
Go ahead, AJ. I know what you're going to say.
They had unused footage from the previous 2 movies that they used to get her into the movie more.
So Jamie, she was not alive for any of the filming, but there was film footage that she shot while she was living. They basically,
right?
I mean, they used cutting room floor footage, right, AJ?
They may have some, but
yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is it looked like a lot of it
was some digital,
like,
too. Yeah.
Stuff. I think
yes.
A lot of it was a digital model because it kind of
yeah.
looked like it was hard to tell, but it was kind of in that uncanny valley where there's something off. Which I just think was interesting.
No,
I look for that kind of stuff, so that's not...
I'll agree with you there. I think that's...
Yeah.
There
but either way,
digital,
whatever they did, it was
not
good.
Nothing was
no
digital because the family didn't want anything digital. The family didn't want anything digital. They had to get permission from Billy Lord to use the footage from the previous movies that they did use. So nothing was digital.
Well,
everything was reworked.
Maybe it's because they tried to fit it in where it didn't belong then. I don't know, because at times
yes.
it looked off to me. But that could definitely be
well, they may have spliced that footage into backgrounds that didn't
right.
that weren't originally part of it, or talking to characters that she didn't
yeah.
initially deliver that
yeah.
dialogue against. kind of thing.
Yeah, obviously
so, yeah.
Her younger was digital, but we had done that
yeah.
before.
So AJ, you can correct me here. I'm not the biggest. I'm sure that 1 million Star Wars fanboys could probably call in right now and tell me I'm wrong and set us straight. But my understanding is that this is the end of the 9-movie saga. This is the end of this story and the end of the legacy characters. They're mostly dead.
Yep.
But it's not the end of stories within the Star Wars universe. I don't know if it's even the end of Rey and Poe and Finn or if they could make more movies. There are more movies and shows happening in this universe, but this story with the Emperor and the Empire and all that is now done. Right, AJ? Is that your understanding?
Yeah, the saga is over. And it's actually what Lucas had always intended, actually. Was he had always intended to have, three trilogies of the generations. So this is over. There will be more Star Wars movies. There'll be a lot more standalone.
Yeah.
I mean,
there'll be more with Rey and everybody else.
They've talked. Now Rey and Finn. I mean, maybe you get more with Poe. Maybe even Finn. But Rey's done. She's part of that whole Skywalker saga thing. So she's done. They just announced that there's going to on Disney Plus. There's going to be a Darth Maul series. So there's that coming. I don't know if they're going to do it. I kind of hope not because I wasn't crazy about the movie. But there's talk of doing a Solo sequel. They've been kicking around a Yoda movie ever since Disney first acquired the rights. I know Rian Johnson, who did The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of the expanded universe, and he really wants to do a trilogy of movies about the Old Republic. I know he's been in talks with Disney to do that. There was something else. There's a very loose rumor talks about not the Emperor's master who was Darth Plagueis, but Darth Plagueis' master, Darth Tenebris, who they're talking about doing maybe a movie about him. So there's all kinds of talk. There's going to be more Star Wars movies. They're just not going to be Skywalker related.
Now, that's all very interesting. Thank you for that. Now, you just mentioned you didn't really like the movie that much. So, and I assume
Solo.
You went with your two boys to see it?
I didn't like Solo. That's why. This last movie, I enjoyed it. It was enjoyable. I mean, yeah, I had a few issues. There were some plot holes. My biggest pet peeve with Disney is apparently they don't like R2-D2 or their fan base because R2-D2 has not had nearly enough movie time since since Disney bought it. R2 is in 5 minutes of the movie, which pissed myself and a lot of others off.
3PO's had so much more screen time.
Yeah, I had issues. Overall, it was enjoyable. I liked it. I knew I wasn't going to go in there and absolutely love it. I really didn't like the whole thing with Rey taking the Skywalker name at the end. I thought that was dumb. The whole her and Ben with the kind of flirtatious kind of romance. It never felt romantic. So when they kissed at the end there, I thought that was really I didn't like her being Palpatine's granddaughter, but it worked more for me than I thought it was going to. The way they did it was okay. But I enjoyed, I always enjoy the cameos. Not sure what Dom was doing there, other than maybe he had something over JJ's head and made him put him in the movie.
Surprisingly, he's friends with JJ.
Dominic Monaghan, yeah.
Because his character was kind of weird. But no, I mean, I enjoyed all the cameos. I enjoyed seeing Lando coming back and flying the Falcon again. I enjoyed, you know, of course, Greg Grunberg, who has to be in everything JJ does.
That's why I said it's probably like that. Dom's probably like, hey, I'm your friend too. Let me. Well, there were so many Brits.
Kevin
That's what I was saying. There were so many British people in this movie. I don't know why I've like noticed that, but.
Kevin Smith had a cameo in the movie that I was unaware of
really?
After I saw the movie. Yeah, he had a cameo in that town that they went to where Poe runs into that woman that he knows, and I'm the biggest fan of Poe's. There's a scene where they stormtrooper walks by or somebody huddled on the ground, and that's Kevin Smith. So, like, you can see this. If you're looking for it, you know it's there. If you're not looking for it, it's just somebody sitting there.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
And speaking of that town,
the fact I didn't know.
I was unaware that the woman who's, like, his old partner who he flirts with, I was unaware that was Carrie Russell until I saw the credits. Because she never takes the helmet off in the whole movie.
That's why she sounded familiar. I knew she sounded so familiar, and I just could not.
Yeah.
But, like, as soon as I look it up, I know I'm going to be like, oh, that's why. So now I don't have to think.
Yeah.
I kept thinking that, too. I'm like, why are we only seeing her eyes? Take your helmet off.
AJ, how do your boys like it, who are very different in age?
Artie liked it. Damon loved it. He thought it was amazing.
Is he six or seven?
Damon being six and Artie being 13. So.
had different views of it,
yeah. It was enjoyable. The fact that Alyssa sat through the entire thing and didn't get up once to go have a cigarette was impressive to me.
Well, is that a commentary on her smoking or on her Star Wars fandom?
Both.
I guess, because usually, she also went in a little more spoiled than the rest of us because, of course, you know, my wife, she likes to read. Spoilers.
I enjoyed it I saw it at 9:30 in the morning, which was really a bizarre experience. And I enjoyed the movie. I'm glad I went to see it. I wouldn't say that it was a really good movie or one of the best Star Wars movies. I remember standing online outside the theater in 1977 to see the first film, and, you know, like many, many millions of Americans, I've seen them all in a movie theater, and I feel like I've completed like some sort of a cycle here by seeing them all. It was fine movie. I enjoyed it. It's not, you know, I came out of like, okay, that's not, you know, it's not the best of the saga. It's maybe the fourth of the, I mean, let's take out the three horrible ones.
I think all the
ones.
Original ones were better than any of the new ones.
Jedi is kind
of
terrible. But, I mean, we all know episodes 1, 2, and 3 are the worst. So if we take the 6 movies that don't really suck, this is in the middle, maybe, for me. And if we throw in Rogue One is better, right? So it felt really like a big goodbye. Like there was too much going on and too many cameos, and like they were trying to fit in like half the characters who've ever been in Star Wars appeared because it's a final and it's a fan goodbye, and I get that. But a lot of what they went through felt really, you know, there's at least 2 or maybe 3 MacGuffins in this movie where they're looking for that triangle compass thing to help them find the ship,
which they didn't need.
Which they're going to find the dagger, which is MacGuffin number 2, right? But that they don't really need. And so it's sort of like this unnecessary multi-level chase going on so that they'll have stuff to do, I guess. So, like, plot-wise, it was kind of, like, overstuffed, I felt, right? I have to agree with AJ that I thought the Ben Ray kiss was really unearned. Like, while I'm down with them having like a weird attraction, but I figured it was just about the two poles of a magnet. It's light and dark, and it's their, you know, and their legacy is why they're drawn together, not because they're hot for each other, romantically attracted. It felt unearned. It felt stupid to me.
Well, what I kind of felt like, I agree. I mean, I said there was attraction. I don't think they were, like, in love with each other or anything like that. But I almost felt like, because the way he smiled at the end, I mean, I think they were, like, in that moment, like, it was kind of the energy, like, you know, he saved her or whatever. But I think on his end, I almost felt it was more of, like, I don't know, like, he was accepted. Like, he felt like he was finally somebody and that he wasn't alone. And it was kind of like that reaction of connecting with someone.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's how I kind of felt.
The kiss was annoying,
like,
to me.
Shippers and all that, so.
And it was like, I mean, it felt like fan service for the shippers. But to me, it was unearned and annoying. I mean, I do not find Adam. I know he's like some kind of a sex symbol. I do not find him attractive, and I would probably rather kiss the Emperor than Adam Driver. So to me it was really not an earned kiss. It bothered me, and you know, it's an overall part of J.J. Abrams in this film. Really, I feel like dumbing down Rey and taking away her story, because like Rey had this, like Rian Johnson said, I know that The Last Jedi is a controversial film and a lot of Star Wars fanboys didn't like it, but it really sets up that Rey is like, she comes from nowhere, and this idea that anybody can be a Jedi and have the Force, and you don't have to be from one of these two families. In this last movie, like it turns out that Rey, it's all a plot between men, and everything Rey has done has been the manipulations of men up until now. And I feel like they really undercut the female character. Like, Star Wars has been doing a little better with female characters. Like, you know, Jyn Erso was a pretty good female character. Leia improved so much over after the metal bikini episode. And this, you know, this was supposed to be Leia's movie. You know, in as much as The Last Jedi was Han Solo's movie, this was supposed to be Leia's movie. And then they had to, like, rewrite the whole thing. But it really bothered me that it turned out the Emperor was alive, and which it's not even really clear, like just through the sheer force of hatred, he has managed to come back to life or something. It just really bothered me the way they took away Rey's story from her. And in the end, you know, she's descended from a powerful family, and men have planned the whole thing all along.
Well, there's some controversy on whose fault that is. Because apparently it's been coming out in quite a few places, and it seems like every day something else is coming out. The movie we saw is not the movie that Abrams had intended. Apparently Disney stepped in quite often and saying, oh, we don't like this, do this. Oh, we don't like that, we want you to do this instead. And apparently Disney had this hard date of, this is when the movie's being released, you need to hurry up and finish the movie. And I guess they kept asking for extensions because there was more they wanted to do and more they wanted to shoot, and Disney's like, no, you need to figure out how to get it all done by this date.
Oh.
So,
what I was going to ask,
that's a good way to ruin a movie.
I wouldn't be surprised if Abrams never works with Disney again, because apparently even after he got done editing, Disney went back in and changed some stuff.
Oh, man. Not cool.
But, I was going to say, though, this is
multiple sources.
Wow.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Anyway, no, sorry. I was just going to say, and again, because I've only watched, I think, it in entirety once, and I'm not, like, so huge on it. Maybe it's just because it was so long ago, but did you guys find, I mean, was the Emperor originally, like, the biggest bad? Because I never, I don't know, I don't remember feeling like that, so to me it wasn't like they brought him back. Like, I remember more of, like, Vader being the big bad than I do him, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know, it just didn't feel as, to me it's like, oh, he's back. Like, I think it was supposed to feel a lot more important than it was, but maybe it's just because I'm not so into it, it didn't, I guess.
Well, yeah, he's Darth Vader's master. Darth Vader served him, and
he's
the big bad guy. I mean, I guess we all kind of agreed that it was good and glad we saw it, but it wasn't really the best of the Star Wars movies, and, you know, it was fine, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, there are some other things that, I mean, we could nitpick if we wanted to, but we don't, you know, we don't really want to, right?
Right. Oh, I have one. Yeah. I have one sort of nitpick because I got to ask you guys something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if I missed it because we had this we had this discussion, me and my dad, because we thought we couldn't make sure, couldn't figure out what it was. Okay, so at the end, Rey comes and buries Luke and Leia's lightsabers, and she takes one with her. Now, my question is, I thought that Kylo Ren broke hers, and he, like, threw, got his knocked, or no, that's right, he threw it into the water or something. So whose was that, or did she just, like, summon his and it came back?
She made
I missed
a new
something
one.
There.
She
got
built
a new
it.
One?
We're meant
she
to believe that she built it.
Oh, did they show that? But okay, I didn't
no,
get
they didn't
that
show
then,
it.
I guess. Oh, okay.
That's why it's gold. Like, we've never seen a gold one before, and
I see. Okay, well, at least it wasn't stated then, so I don't have to feel so stupid. I was like, how did she get another one? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted her to use Leia's in a sense. Like, I wanted, like, I wanted her to, like, to carry the legacy, and went at a point where I thought this was a story of a strong, of you know, a couple strong female characters. I would have, you know, I would have liked to have seen more of Leia as a Jedi training Rey. We never really got any storyline that we never saw Leia go into training, right? That's all skipped when we join them in these three movies. She's already, you know, the general,
and
she's got these powers or whatever.
We have to assume there's going to be more Jedis, but they didn't touch on that either, which I kind of, like, expected them to, like, show new kids training or something. No, but I'm just saying that's where I feel like there were certain things that I just – not that they mattered, they weren't in there. I just expected and made it to me not feel as final because they weren't. Like, it wasn't brought up.
Right. But again, Jamie, they could have more movies with other Jedis and stuff. Just this saga, this story is done.
Right, right. I guess that makes sense.
Karen,
I just felt like Rey's story and that wasn't done, but I don't know what made me specifically feel like that. So, I mean, they ended, they finished every part of that other than, like, the romance.
Yeah.
So,
to your point about Leia training her more, that was actually part of the original, that was actually part of the original script, but then Carrie Fisher had to go and die. So.
Yeah.
Really, that was nobody's fault. So.
You know, in terms of, so I really felt, so there's a bunch of scenes where Finn, so I felt like Finn really didn't have a lot to do in this movie, except stand around and worry about Rey, which was kind of funny because she's like a full-on Jedi, and he's like, you know, always like screaming, where's Rey, where's Rey? And I thought Finn didn't really have enough to do it. And then there's this curious sequence where he meets this woman and they sort of bond over having both escaped from being, what do you call it? Stormtroopers. And I really felt like, so at the end, like, you know, she mentions to Lando, she doesn't know where she's from. And he says, let's find out. And I felt like, oh, are they setting it up for this character to have a spinoff? Although I read an interview with that actress and she does not have a multi-movie contract and she's not aware of any plans for that. Or so she says. But
yeah,
did you guys feel that they were setting up they were setting up a spinoff maybe there?
Potentially, yeah.
I didn't really give it a thought.
Well,
I don't know. I thought it was interesting there were more stormtroopers that rebelled, though, like him. But,
well, it stands
to
reason, actually. When you think about it, it makes sense, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why did we never think of that before? Yeah. So, anyway, all right. Is that enough Star Wars talk for tonight?
I'm good.
I don't want to cut anyone off, but, you know, it's a side story of our podcast, so.
Yeah, I'm good.
We usually do movies.
I don't think there's anything.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So.
All right. We want to move on to
Doctor Who
and the
Doctor Who.
Emergency.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep. So this one was called Orphan 55. Let me talk a little bit, and then I want to know what you think. But I thought this was a good one. I liked, it was just normal Monster of the Week, but I kind of liked that because it was, you know, there's more replay, and I think sometimes it's nice to not have the mythology, although it would have been nice if they had you know, continued what was going on, but we knew that wasn't going to happen. But I thought it was neat. I liked the twist in it, obviously, that they were us and it was Earth. I know a lot of people complained that it screws up, like, the timelines and everything because of what supposedly happens to the human race. But I don't – and but then some people are like, well, it's a possible future. I don't know. To me, I just assumed that, you know, maybe the rest of the human race did go off, but maybe a couple people stayed, you know. And what to me, that doesn't really, like, I don't know, ruin it. I thought it was good, but by the end of the episode, though, like the first part about it wasn't bad, but the last scene was annoying. I felt like it got kind of preachy at the end, like it was too much, at least that last scene being added. What did you think of that? I think people kind of, that's what
well,
they argued about.
Well, I mean, I don't know what
was.
You mean by the last scene. So I thought, you know, it was a good old after what we've been through for the last 2 weeks, it was like a good old fashioned Doctor Saves the World, you know, Monster of the Week type episode. You're right. Which I rather enjoyed it. And the companions had more to do this week than they have in like, than they did last week. I mean, yeah, so I saw it coming that it was going to be Earth. And I think you did too. The scene where, you know, there's a scene earlier on, when Doctor says, what planet is it? Oh, it's an orphan planet. What does that mean, Doctor? You know, and she says an orphan planet is, you know, planets have been destroyed. And she says, on these planets, there's always an elite race that managed to escape, and they leave the planet for, you know, the others who get destroyed. And I thought, oh, this is like they're really preaching climate change here, right? And so I was really not at all surprised when it turns out to be a future Earth, because it was like really laid out for us. And I do think it's in keeping. This is a very preachy Doctor. Last season was a very preachy season. We had Rosa Parks. We had the partition of India.
By
we
the way,
had like
Star Wars.
Because
I'm like, that's, you know, from Sherlock. Sorry, go ahead.
But I mean, Doctor Who has preached at us sometimes in the past, but the Chris Chibnall show is a much overtly preachier Doctor, I think, than we have seen.
I agree. And I think when she was telling them and explaining they destroyed the Earth, it was fine. I just think that extra scene at the very end where she's like about, you know, we can destroy the planet or we can save the planet and the people don't listen to scientists and all that. I don't know. I just thought that last little bit was just more than we needed. But other than that, it didn't bother me. I just thought that was a little bit too much of a speech at the end. But the other thing too that I wanted to mention, because I was a little, I don't want to say confused on, but it was left unclear to me, is that it seemed like the girl, obviously everything was because of her mother, I don't think she originally intended to kill people, because when the bomb goes off at the one point, she said, I wasn't going to set it off when anybody was in there. But yet, at the same time, what caused all the really bad stuff was that virus that she introduced. But I didn't know, kind of wondered if it was supposed to be that she didn't know about the, well, not the aliens, but the monsters outside, like that there was a hole in the wall and that, and at that part, she didn't know or it wouldn't have happened. At least that's kind of how I took it, but it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't 100% clear to me. So I kind of was thinking about that and...
I mean, I don't know. I think she wanted to destroy her mother so badly that it wasn't really clear to me whether she wanted to kill. I think maybe she didn't care. She didn't think it through, but she didn't really care if she killed people. I don't think she really thought that she would meet the people and spend time with them and, like, get to know them, right?
Yeah, I just remember she made the comment to Ryan about I wasn't going to set it off when people were in there. So I kind of wondered. But the other thing, and I got to comment on this because this really pissed me off more than anything about this episode. Okay, I understand at the end of the episode they need to get to the transport because it beams them back to where they came from. Totally got that. And the two that were left, the girl and her mother, if they had time, they would have went on the transport. But when she gets on the TARDIS, or they get on the TARDIS, Ryan makes this comment about they're alone, they can't survive, okay? The TARDIS has teleports. Why in the hell did the Doctor not fly back down to the planet and pick them up? That's what I didn't get. It's like she just left them down there to die, and it seemed like such an obvious thing that she should have done and just chose not to. Did you play? Was it just me that felt like that? Because I don't know. I just thought that was like really weird that she didn't go get them because she had the ability to.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it would sort of ruin the whole idea that they're going to die together, which is what's moving about it, right? Like the doctor, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I got
TARDIS
that,
is
but I just
broken.
Felt like
the doctor doesn't like to interfere. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really like think about
now,
it.
The doctor says she, but they don't, he and she says they don't interfere, but they always do. I don't know. I just, to me, it seemed second nature that she had a teleport. All she had to do was fly down and teleport them up and save their lives. I don't know. That
I mean,
was the thing that kind of
I mean, maybe they live, maybe they die. I didn't even really think about it at all until you just said it. I mean, so one thing that I'm sort of really missing in Doctor Who, and I sort of like mentioned it to you last week, is that, you know, this doctor doesn't have those moments where, you know, typically where you said the doctor like figuring it all out and the doctor makes a plan. And like we didn't have that moment where the 10th or 11th or even the 12th doctor would have stood before the dregs and like made that speech, and they play I Am the Doctor. And the doctor always gives a speech that's like, I am the doctor, and I'm and you don't know who you're messing with, and I'm protecting this planet. And, you know, we don't get our I am the doctor moments. We haven't had any really yet with this doctor. And that theme music, I don't know if that theme music is retired or if they're saving it for an especially doctory moment that's coming. I mean, that theme music that's been played across doctors. But I feel like the Jodie Whittaker doctor is not having those very heroic, I mean, she's heroic, but she's not having those, like, you know what I mean, those doctor moments.
Yeah, I know what
doctor,
you mean.
Like
standing up to the alien, well, in this case, it weren't aliens, but well,
I mean, this whole episode, like, they were fleeing the dregs in fear. Like, the doctor did try to talk to them at one point, but, you know, and when she traps it in the cage. But I thought, like, there's a lot of fleeing with this doctor and not a lot of standing up.
Yeah, but that's
up,
true, too, because they obviously understood her and it went and walked in the cage so she could get out. That is kind of strange, though. She didn't even try to kind of talk him down. I haven't really thought about it until you said that. I know that isn't what you were saying, but it makes me think about it. Like, now that you said that,
yeah.
I don't know.
This doctor's a little more like, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I mean, I thought it was good. I think after what the last 2 weeks were, we need, like, a Monster of the Week episode.
Yeah,
which is sort of a straight up, and I think it's in keeping that, you know, this doctor seems to be in denial. Like, she, like, all this time she's never told her companions anything about herself. They don't know anything, where she's from, who she is, what, you know, and this doctor seems to be not wanting to deal with stuff. And, you know, despite what she learned about Gallifrey, the doctor didn't like run straight off to Gallifrey to like try to do anything, right? Like, I mean, she saw what the master showed her, but this doctor is not, like, it stands to reason. I mean, it might be in keeping with what we're seeing, that this doctor is like, whatever, ignoring it, let's go on an adventure, la, 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 not paying attention kind of thing going on with her right now.
So I guess that makes sense. I think it's more about the fact they don't want to put all the mythology together, and I didn't really put that much thought into it. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't make a lot of sense in a way that she didn't go straight out, but she also might think he's lying. Maybe she's in a way scared to see what really happened.
I think he might be lying.
Oh,
right.
That's the other thing, and I was just going to say too, if it already happened, can she change it? But that was the other thing that concerned me too. How that kind of seems to go against a lot of what's happened on the show. Is she's like saying this is only one possible future, right? Well, what about like in with the Weeping Angels? Once you see something happen, it's like, it happened, like with River breaking her arm and everything. Because I'm kind of like, that's two completely different things that she, you know, has
said. Totally changing,
so
like, the rules
of
the show.
And they did kind of change it. I mean, I know that's not what happened to humans on the show, they've said all along. But I don't know. I watch a show and I don't really think about it until, like, I hear people complaining. And I'm like, you're totally right. You know, that doesn't make sense. But I don't know. I hadn't really thought it through until I saw people saying, oh, well, you know, we know that the humans went off and colonized somewhere else. Well, I just kind of think that maybe it was a couple humans that were left. You know, it didn't really hit me that way,
we didn't know, like, how they destroyed the Earth. Or, I mean, I tend to not get too worked up like you. I tend to not really think about it and not get worked up about it, because everything that happens on Doctor Who, they explain something that can undo it. Like, Gallifrey's been destroyed twice, I think, already, and been, like, fixed. So, like, I'm, you know, to hear different there's always some timey-wimey explanation, right?
Which is just the answer, is timey-wimey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be explained.
Yeah. So, not too concerned about it. So, anyway, yeah, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyable. Yeah. So, okay. So, what does that bring us to next? Oh, no, go ahead. You have more? Yeah.
I just want to say, because I forgot to say it during when we were talking about the movie. I assume that it was the same previews for when you guys saw it, that they had the Black Widow trailer.
Yeah, I saw the Black Widow trailer at Star Wars, but a new trailer was released yesterday or today, I read, that
or
I had not seen.
Black Widow.
Yeah,
okay, because they had a Black
trailer.
Widow one. I just didn't know if it was different. Okay.
There's a new trailer released. I just read that a new trailer was released, like, yesterday or today, and it includes a glimpse of another villain that they, like, I don't know. I read something about it today. I was supposed to be working, so I didn't, like, you know, research it too much.
You didn't. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really know nothing about it to begin with. I just thought about it when I was thinking about that. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. No, that was it. Lots to say about that.
So
okay.
I guess move on to
Emergence.
Have you seen Emergence?
Which I've seen it, but I'm trying to remember what happened other than Piper was weird and it didn't make sense. I remember that much.
Well, yeah, Joe's searching for Piper, and so she tracks her to this guy who owns the gas station owner. Turns out he's a robot also, and they're in, like, Robot Town or something. And Piper then refuses to come home and says, they need me. I can't go with you, Joe. Sorry. Right? So, and then separately, Maya is very upset, and Chris has to be the chief of police. Is that a good – that's a pretty good synopsis, right?
Yeah.
What happened.
Talks Benny and that. And I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that they're not bad, or at least Benny's not bad. I mean, I guess that woman kind of is. But I don't – I think whatever it is, it's not what they think it is. Yeah. But I don't know. The fact that she was acting like that, I kind of wasn't down with.
We
just want Benny to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want them to be good, too. But no, but I just mean, like, the fact that she was, like, you know, I have to go with them. And it seemed like she thought she was doing something good, but yet she doesn't really take the time to explain anything to her. She just kind of writes her off. I don't know. I just didn't.
I don't know about
the way they had her act.
I mean, I'll reserve comment. AJ, will you jump in here for a second? If you'd like to. You don't have to.
The big thing for me, like, something I was thinking is, you know, I'm wondering, you know, because, like, we talked about this before, but there's certain things with Benny that didn't make sense. So to find out that he is one of them, it feels a little contrived. So I'm wondering if they, like, get activated almost. Like, I'm wondering if Benny didn't know what or who he was prior to us finding out about him. Like, I'm wondering if he just himself found out. Because so much stuff, you know, I mean, he was talking about, oh, you know, he's like, Joe, you need to kill her, you know, we with what we've learned about her, this is not good, you know. And then, you know, when he met her, he's like, never mind, I get it now. After meeting her, I understand why, you know, you feel the way you do. And now it turns out he's one of them. It's just, it doesn't, there's got to be more that they're going to give us because it just doesn't make sense otherwise.
Right.
So I'm wondering.
That's very interesting.
So I'm wondering if they're activated.
That's a really interesting theory, AJ, that I haven't thought of. And, you know, it makes sense also given that Piper didn't know that she was a robot at first, right?
Right.
Exactly. And they thought that if she found out, it would kill her. So maybe
I feel like they had to have known it could not kill her, though, or they wouldn't be aware. So, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they could not know they're a robot and still be programmed not to kill her. So, I don't know. But
I think now they obviously know what they are, I guess is what I'm saying.
Let's
yes.
Not
it would make sense if they didn't.
Let's not forget that it was Kindred and Emily that were saying, don't tell her because it can be bad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And now we know that.
And they're not to be trusted.
Now we know Kindred stole the software and took it for his own, you know, like this one,
yeah.
You know, so the people that were telling the rules weren't exactly all knowing on what they were to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I kind of don't really feel like Piper wanted to go with them or was willing. Like Piper never said, I want to go with them. Piper said, I have to go with them. They need me. And I got the sense that Piper's with them out of a sense of obligation, not because
right.
she's like, oh, I love them or I want to be with them or whatever.
No,
like, I feel like whatever. Like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, we also saw that she appears to be reaching out through the ham radio to Maya, right?
Right. I think she was just trying to help to tell her not to worry, but that could just be my interpretation.
I mean, that is what she said, but I just don't really. I mean,
I don't know absolutely for sure it was Piper. We're assuming it was Piper. They never actually proved
well,
it was.
It has to be Piper. It really, really bothers me when we have those kind of explanations that we don't know. Like, this is just network television, and if they're pulling that it was someone else, it's going to, like, piss me off. Like, I feel like this is the simplest for a network show. I mean, I think
well,
it was Piper. And then
be someone else? I guess I was just saying they didn't. Like,
no, they didn't.
That was
they
just
didn't.
More
you're
mind.
Saying that.
Yeah,
yeah, you're saying
yeah,
that, and
I
you're right.
Were,
but
I think it was.
But that's like this business of unless you see a dead body, then the person's not dead. That
no,
really,
I was
like,
just
bothers
thinking,
me about TV, right?
Weird, yeah, I was just wondering if it could be some weird twist, like it was Benny and, you know, he's
now,
trying
I think
to
it's
tell
Piper.
Them something. But, yeah, it makes more sense as Piper. I
think it's Piper, and I don't know
point.
If Piper was reaching out to say, you know, I'm fine, leave me alone. That's obviously what Piper's going to say in front of her captors. Like, you know, obviously when you're kidnapped, you're going to say, I'm fine, don't follow me, to the people you love so they don't get hurt. And I don't
true,
necessarily
too.
Really buy that Piper is with them willingly. She
yeah,
may,
I definitely feel like it's a sense of duty. I agree with you with that.
Yeah. She may have a sense of obligation, and she may be trying to protect Joe and not wanting Joe to follow her because Joe could get hurt. Not because
yeah,
she
we're gonna kill her if she comes.
Doesn't
yeah.
want to be followed, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't think Benny's good. I don't think, you know, that there's any way that we find out Benny's good and Joe's like, oh, I forgive you, let's be friends again kind of thing, right?
Well, no, that's
I am bothered by FBI guy that I feel I'm worried that there's going to be some sort of like romance kind of thing going on when we all, and he starts asking questions like, he's like, oh, you and Alex, you're doing great. You know, how long
yeah.
have you been divorced? Oh,
yeah,
you're so great.
I was the
raising
only one
kid.
That thought he was good though.
Well,
I was the only one of us that was like, he's not bad. He's really an FBI.
But he's bad
right.
as he comes between
I don't
Alex
know what
and
made
Joe.
Me think that either. Right. But I mean, he wasn't the bad one.
Mm-hmm.
I like their conversation, though, like when she's testing him to make sure he's not a robot, and then he starts testing her, and she's like, wrong arm. Like, how would he know if what she's saying is even true? That was funny. I like that scene.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Agent whatever his name is there.
Agent from Dollhouse.
I mean, two things about him. One, I like the fact after 2 weeks of searching for Piper with no leads, I like the fact that he went to Joe's office like, they're pulling me off the case. I gotta go. And I really appreciated that because most shows, they just let people keep going and going and going and going with no explanations for why they're still there. So I appreciated the fact that that was realistic. You know, there is no way, you know, after with no leads, they're not going to just leave this agent hanging around town. So I like that. Of course, they ended up finding a reason for him to hang around town. But at least it made sense to start with. There's definitely a little bit of chemistry going on between those two. I don't think it's going to amount to anything. I think it's kind of just, you know, it's one of those situations where you start working, you know. I already know. It almost felt a little X-Files-ish.
Yeah,
there was a mutual respect, you know, kind
of,
it's like a mutual respect type of thing where, you know, the FBI guy, he gets it, you know. I mean, we still don't know why Alex and Joe got divorced, but we've made assumptions and we're probably close, you know, with part of the, you know, he doesn't get what it's like to be, you know, to be on the job and everything. Whereas the FBI guy kind of does. So when you kind of find somebody that gets it and you're in close proximity like that, you know, certain things might happen or flirtations or whatever. But, you know, it was very subtle, you know.
Although they might be wanting to put a love triangle in it. You never know. Not that that necessarily works on this fan. You don't know.
I really hope they don't go completely.
No, I do too. I'm just saying they could.
And up to this point, I mean, the human interaction on the show has been wonderful.
It's really good.
I mean, everything has, you know, really meshed well. It makes sense. It feels real. It doesn't feel forced, you know?
They're doing such a good job
with that. I can definitely get why, you know, why there's a little bit, like I said, it was subtle. They might push the envelope a little more with it, but ultimately I don't think anything's going to come of it, honestly.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the show that we're watching. She doesn't have time for that, and it's clear that, you know, Alex and Joe are very...
Yeah, I don't think she even stopped to think about that. She cares about her daughter. She really would be like, that's not appropriate right now.
I mean, they got divorced, but... I agree. I mean, we say this every week. They're doing such a good job with the family relationships. I think they're...
Somebody hammering?
I think... Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Not me. I think they're doing a good job with keeping this mystery evolving very rapidly. It's not dragging at all, and it keeps, like, every week there's, like, new developments, and it's going and going, which is kind of impressive. Wasn't sure if they'd be able to do it. And I think they're doing a good job with a lot of the side characters, maybe not all of them, but, like, Chris continues to, like, be a really good supporting character, right?
Yeah, I like him and her husband together. That was good.
Yeah.
That was fun. Little boy night out.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing a great job with all that. So another good episode.
And Chris continues to impress. I mean, they look kind of bamboozled when they were on the boat, and they're like, oh, no, it's leaving. And they, like, you know, hurry to get off and everything. But then, you know, once again, when it looked like a buddy movie comedy until they get back to the station, and Chris is like, oh, I left my phone on it. We can track it. Like, aha, Chris is always thinking.
Yep. So that was actually, I had almost forgotten about that. That was kind of a weird scene. Like, that. Whatever that glowing orb was, like, that was a little bit of an interesting new development. I mean, could this still be about alien technology, right? Like, is that some sort of human technology, or is that alien technology that, you know, I'm not convinced that we might not yet see aliens on this show, I guess, is what
I think so, too.
Well,
I said before, maybe they're robots that were even alien robots, you know.
Well, you know what first struck me about it? It kind of looked like a liquid version of the components in Piper. And remember that little orange ball that she took out of her neck?
It kind of
substance in the box, it looked like a liquid version of it. So it's like you take some of this and you mix it with this, and then you put it in the kiln and you make this. You know, it's like one of the components of it, of a larger piece.
Possible. Yeah.
What is that? Who knows? But I'm just saying that was my first thought when I saw it.
Yeah. It's as good a thought as any.
Yeah.
At this point, who knows? So, I mean, that could be an interesting direction also. So, yeah, good episode, right? Good episode.
Yep, definitely. I just hope it gets renewed.
The numbers aren't great, I think
it's,
for the show.
I don't know what the numbers are, but I think it's better than Manifest.
And
Manifest got renewed. Of course, they are in two different stations.
Different
but
networks,
I
though,
feel like
so.
I definitely feel like it's going to get renewed. I think it's worth it. It's definitely intriguing. And like you said, it keeps rapidly changing. It keeps a pretty steady pace. And I never feel bored watching it. You know,
right, they seem to have a plan.
Piper's still just a chess piece. She's really not doing anything. Maybe that'll change now that she's with Benny and the other woman, but...
Yeah, she doesn't really have a lot of agency or storyline of her own. She's, you know, she is a nice kid and a personable young actress, but we haven't, you're right, we haven't seen, like, her, like, be a character. She's a MacGuffin. She could be a big fat diamond that everybody's chasing right now, right?
Yep.
So we'll see about that. So in terms of renewal, this show does, I think, get consistently decent reviews from critics, from shows like ours, from websites like Sci-Fi Vision, and from like mainstream like news critics also. And I hope that will help it to get renewed.
Yeah, I just don't think its ratings are super high. I don't know that they're low. I just don't think they're like necessarily.
Yeah, I just don't think they're like killer ratings.
Right.
That doesn't stop like ABC from advertising it as like the hit of the season. But.
Yeah.
Well, almost every show on CBS is the highest rated show on TV.
when they put that for every show,
it's like, dude, they can't all be top.
I mean, we've talked about this before, and I'm not gonna like, dwell on it. But we live in a different era. Ratings don't mean shit anymore. Because with all the
money
streaming,
means more than anything.
They mean more for
for
a legacy network than they do for other outlets.
I mean, you know, streaming is still, you know, I mean, the ratings are still at live views. And I watch it on Hulu, you know? So we don't know what those numbers are. We don't know what the streaming numbers from the website are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for all we know, nobody's watching anything live anymore. So, I mean, eventually Wilson's going to be out of a job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're doing Live Plus 7. We've had this conversation before. But anyway,
I think
hope
that's why networks try to interact with tweeting and all that. And I noticed a lot of shows have the hashtag on the screen, too, when you're watching it because they're trying to get people to interact live.
This network still has to sell ads through onto the show. So, you know.
I just mean in general, but yeah.
All right, so that brings us to Manifest.
All right.
Jamie, did you see it? Are you caught up on Manifest?
No, I did not. No, I did not. I will eventually, I promise. I need to get my website working and not having issues before I leave.
Oh, no. Are there problems on Sci-Fi Vision? Are they visible to the viewer or just to you, the owner?
No, it's just on the back end and with the people that run the server wanting me to fix things, and it's just a mess. But it's getting there.
Sorry about
what
that.
I thought I had fixed apparently wasn't fixed, so I have to deal with it. But that's okay.
All right.
It'll get there. All right.
Okay.
Well, good night,
good
guys.
Luck with that.
Have a good week.
All right,
good
night.
Thanks for everybody who listened.
Have a good week.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, AJ, I just watched Manifest tonight.
So did I.
I watched it on demand, and my Comcast has this fantastic feature that is smart fast-forward, that you can fast-forward it through the commercials, and when it gets to the end of the commercials, it automatically stops and starts the show.
I don't
have to watch it. Yeah, it's called, like, they only have it for, like, some... They have it for Manifest, they have it for Magnum PI, which I, yes, guilty pleasure. But anyway, so I just watched it like an hour ago, so it's all fresh in my mind. I don't know if you watched it.
I watched it.
It airs like Mondays, right? Oh, so it airs Monday, so you would have watched it today also, right? It's not on Hulu until the next day. Okay.
Yep.
So, wow. There are some really annoying and horrible people. Like, I don't understand what happened to all these characters during the break. In addition to Jared, who we discussed at length last week, sort of like going on some crazy pills, I think they have taken Olive in a very, I think Olive is behaving in a way that is not Olive-like. Like, it's, I mean, yeah, she's a teenager, and yeah, they articulated how she's feeling, and I get it, and it makes sense, like, intellectually as we discussed it, but in general, I feel like Olive took a left turn also during the break.
You know, I felt the same way about Olive. Like, at first I was like, poor Olive, she doesn't get to, you know, join in the callings. But then when she explained herself, I kind of felt a little better about it. That made it a little more sense. But for her to go to the Believers Church or whatever the heck they call themselves,
Yeah.
That
it never happened.
That threw me. You know what? It's funny,
yeah.
Actually. When she was talking to her mom, and she told her mom, she's like, you know, now that, you know, you have the baby and everything, she's like, you know, maybe you have a death date too now. And Grace is like, you know, I hadn't thought about that, and I'm going to be all alone. I kept waiting for, I know it would have been the worst possible thing to say, and it would have been the worst thing for them to write. But in my head, I'm hearing her go, well, if we all die, Danny will still be here.
And that would be a better show, maybe. That would be a show we would watch. That could be a spinoff.
There you go.
So I agree with you, actually, that, like, for Olive to be feeling left out, I got it, but she felt a little petulant. But when they explained what she actually was feeling, I agree with you. I felt a little better, and it made sense. And it was, I kind of liked that it went in a direction that, like, the adults were not really thinking what this kid is going through. I liked it, but I agree with you. I could see her going to almost any church in the entire city of New York before she went to the Believer's Church, right?
Yeah.
And at first, when she met that girl, I thought, it's a trick. It's the major, and they're tricking her. And then when I realized it's the Believers, it still could be the major. It might not be the major. It might just be the Believers. But I thought, it's not even a trick. Like, they openly know it's the Believers, and Olive goes there. Like, not believable.
Yeah, I almost feel like they're trying to give Olive a separate storyline for some reason.
Because she has something to do.
Goes.
Yeah.
Maybe, but and you know what? I was disappointed in Cal. Olive might
yes.
not get callings, and you know she might not have been you know on the plane and everything. But up to this point, Olive's been one of the smartest damn people on the show. She's been helping, even, you know, she's not getting the calls, but she's helped figure out a lot of these mysteries, a lot of the puzzles. Olive has been,
yes.
has been very useful
she
in all of this.
So
for Cal to be like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Last
you know,
season,
she,
didn't she figure out a bunch of shit, like, tied to her, what
yeah.
she was studying in school, right? Yeah.
Yeah, she figured
for
out
Cal
a lot
to
of
dismiss
stuff,
her.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and a lot of stuff that was happening with Cal, she figured it out, you know, and
yeah.
she was willing to give him the rope, you know, to do stuff and everything. When everybody's like, well, no, Cal,
mm-hmm.
Cal, don't you, no, Carl, don't leave the house, you know.
Yeah.
Olive
yeah.
was the one going, no, wait, listen to him, you know. So for Cal
yeah.
to totally be like, yeah, let me know when mom and dad call. I was like, really? I mean, that bothered me because that is not how it was last season at all.
Right, that is not how these characters relate to each other.
And I mean, 5 minutes into the show, I'm like, I'm once again smarter than the writers because I thought it was obvious as hell when she had the call and I was like, it's the baby. I was like, it's so it's gotta.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the trick. They don't do the paternity test, so they're assuming that it's his because of the calling. I would not be surprised to find out that it's actually Danny's baby. I don't know how they'll explain it, but I would not be surprised to see that happen.
So I'm inclined to agree with you there because, like, how can this not have a twist, right? How can this be so easy for them? I agree with you that it, like, somehow the calling is transferred. And it's like, I don't know what actually to really say here, but I agree with you that there's potential for it to go that way.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to put
it together,
but
it can't be this easily, like, figured out and described. But yeah.
Especially since they didn't actually have the test.
Well, and we saw Danny. Like, we saw Danny, like, they showed him to us, I feel like, to remind us that he's there, and there's, like,
right.
why even have a question that it's Danny's baby unless it's going to try to be Danny's baby? Otherwise, why not just let it be, right?
Right.
So, yeah, she's getting callings for some other reason. And if she can get callings, like, could Jared get a calling somehow? Because I hate Jared. I hope he gets shot.
I really hope not.
I hope he gets transferred to another precinct because he's really being a jerk. I mean, I also think Sanvi's being kind of dumb. Like, while Sanvi, like, she needs to go to therapy and she's opening up in therapy and that's great, but she is, like, being loose also. Because even if she doesn't believe that her doctor is, you know, in league with the major, like
oh, by the way, you're right. That
what?
Is the major.
She is
last
the
week.
That is the major,
she
yeah.
That is the major. Last
yeah,
week,
she's the major,
I don't know,
yeah.
Something about her. She looked different last week to me, and this week, as soon as she was on the screen, I was like, wait, that is the major. I was like, Karen's right, that is
yeah.
the major. I don't know why
yeah.
I didn't think it was the major last week, but you were right.
So I just feel like Sanvi should be more open to the possibility, like, not that her doctor is the major, but certainly that anyone could break in there and steal her doctor's notes, which happens on, like, half the television shows we watch, right? And I mean, we've seen that happen multiple times to characters on different shows. In fact, most recently, on that show Evil, it happened, where Michael Emerson stole the... Yeah. And I think Sanvi, like telling about the callings, first of all, wouldn't your shrink be, like, making little notes about how you need to, like, be on some medication? I just think Sanvi's behaving a little recklessly by being that open. Like, and couldn't she, you know, just say that she's working on some research that, oh, you wouldn't understand and it's classified and I can't, right? Like, people are acting dumb. I don't know if we got some new writers this year that are making our characters act a little dumb. How do you feel about the Zeke business? First of all,
speaking
I'm sorry,
dumb.
But I don't think there's any court in the land that would allow... Zeke got arrested, arraigned, tried, and put in jail in, like, 3 days. And I just, I think when you choose to defend yourself, the judge proceeds so deliberately. And I don't think you're allowed to just stand up and, like, that went crazy fast.
Why?
But
he
clearly,
pled guilty to anything. What else is there? There's nothing else.
Yeah, but he
do.
Didn't plead guilty at the right time. The judge usually makes another, even when you defend yourself, they sometimes make a lawyer, like, sit there with you. It's just not like any. Anyway, whatever. Designed to put
and
him.
And not for nothing. I didn't really think about it until you just said it, but that wasn't even his trial. That was an arraignment.
Right.
You can plead guilty in an arraignment, but you still have to have a trial.
Right. I mean, so maybe
even
he's.
Even if you're pleading guilty.
Yeah, maybe what we're seeing is he's being held somewhere awaiting trial. I don't know, but.
I don't know. The whole thing's stupid.
It is stupid. It does seem that somehow his connection to what's her name, Michaela, is now causing earthquakes. Whatever is going on between them is very different than what's going on with all of the other survivors. All the other passengers are having these like visions
and
of
Cal
their
too.
Death, but well, and Cal, right? Yeah,
well,
Cal. I don't know why Zeke and Cal and Michaela have this like special, extra intense thing going on.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a thing that needs to be explained to us.
Well,
still,
Cal,
at some point.
Well, no, Michaela and Zeke, they're the one that has. Cal has always tapped into.
Yes, he's always been the most powerful.
You know,
yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cal has always kind of felt everything else around him.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with Zeke, like, I get it, you know, for the first time in his life, he's taking responsibility for stuff, but he's taking responsibility for things he didn't do. You know, the shit with
yeah.
his sister was an accident. The stuff with his sister was an accident, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't intentional. We learned that right off the bat. I don't know if he was in the same room that I was watching, but that was all Jared. It wasn't, I mean, yeah, okay, he had an unlicensed gun, and he shouldn't have had it, but
yep.
that was Jared. That was completely Jared's fault, you know? So, he's feeling guilty about everything, and he feels like he, you know, has never paid for, you know, and I get it, but like you said, it's all very rushed. It's all very sloppy. On the flip side, there were two things character-wise I liked in the episode. One was after the captain was like, you've got a new partner. And Jared's like, no, we've always worked together. And he's like, yeah. And the captain's like, yeah, well, not anymore. And Michaela's, you know, and Jared's like, oh, I'll take care of it. And Michaela's like, no, you know what? This is probably a good thing. You know, so I like the fact
he
that
was
he told
a,
Jared where to
he
stick
was such
it.
A jerk.
And I like
he
the
goes,
captain.
Oh.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, oh, you need me to watch your back. Everybody acts like Michaela is not a NYPD detective that she earned.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like the captain,
and I
huh?
I like the captain. But then Michaela goes and says something stupid. That was such an easy situation for her with that security guard, okay?
Yeah.
How did you figure it out? It was a hunch, you know? We followed the lead. We followed the clues, you know? And his story, I mean, he lied immediately. No, there was nobody here. Oh, wait, now that you mention it, okay. So I just had a hunch. I pushed him on it, and he tried to run. I mean, that's easy.
He ran.
I got an anonymous tip. Really, that's
what
you're
going to say. Yeah.
Don't say something, especially after the captain was just like, you seem to have a lot of these, and then you go with it. Like, but I like the captain. I like that she's kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'm not playing this.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, eventually, maybe, not right away, but I can see the captain kind of getting privy to everything, you know? Because she just, I don't know. I get a good feeling about the captain. Like, she's supposed to be a protagonist, but I feel like ultimately she's going to be useful and helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's a straight
Maybe
shooter.
She'll fire Jared.
And she's not wrong. I mean, you're correct that she's not wrong about stuff necessarily. And it is really suspicious the way Michaela closes all these cases, right? She could become an ally. She's not, I mean, she seems like an adversary, but she's not really she's a straight shooter. You're right.
Yeah.
So we had plenty of Bobby. Bobby came back to life.
Yes.
And we saw that Bobby faked his own death, really. Sort of. I mean, I think Bobby, he didn't plan to fake his own death, but when the opportunity presented itself, he was like, yeah, let me, like, people are trying to kill us, let me just fake I'm dead. Like,
And I appreciated that, because the way they did it. Because it wasn't, like, life-threatening and somebody else decided it. Like, he sat up right in the ambulance, like, I'm fine, but as far as anybody knows, I'm dead, because shit just went really sideways, and there's some crazy shit going on, and we need to get through, you know? Like, I like the way they did it, how they didn't make it into a whole rigmarole and make it complicated.
Yeah.
They made it simple, which was good, because when he went in the ambulance last season, you know, it wasn't life-threatening. They didn't make it seem life-threatening. So when we kind of had to be dead, I mean, it was kind of obvious, yeah, he's alive. But I'm glad they made it simple. Because sometimes you make it too convoluted, and it becomes redundant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
So he seems to, although, like, everybody I see, I'm so suspicious of everyone. Like, there's a guy that's working as, like, the receptionist in Bobby's fake travel agent, which is the guy that was with him and is his, you know, partner or whatever. But I just feel like every person I see, I'm so suspicious that they're, you know, in with the major now. I think I'm glad Bobby's back, because I am ready to get more info about the major and to have that part of it. Like, the mystical part and the calling part has been, like, moving along and advancing, but the part where the government is surveilling them and whatever the major is doing, that part is stalled a little bit for a while now, and so I'm ready for a little more action there. Not too much, but a little.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're only two episodes in, so.
We are, yeah.
Yeah,
we are.
And then...
So.
And then the mystery of the week, with that kid TJ who had a calling about the dead girl. And
this was a little...
the minute Jared got his panties in a bunch again, and it was like, oh, this kid's fingerprints are all over the place. I don't believe him. He did it. And you know, and I liked that Michaela was like, you know, he was a jerk about it, but I liked the way Michaela handled it, where she was like, you know what, the evidence does suggest this, so we have to, at least follow the letter of the law. You know, if you're right, you got your man. If you're wrong, you let him out like you did. But as soon as he's like, oh, his fingerprints are all over the place, I was like, either A, she's in his old dorm room, or B, she's got some of his stuff. I knew right away. Like, it's like, I don't know what it is with the show, but things are just so obvious to me right away.
Yeah, I mean, the callings tend to be not the most complex. I mean, we got a complex backstory going on here, right? And so the callings tend to be not a terribly complex mystery usually. And sometimes they're better and sometimes they're weaker. And this was maybe a slightly like less well drawn out one. But the callings consistently have asked them to help people who are not passengers. Like, you know, Michaela rescued those two little girls who were kidnapped was like one of the first mysteries, and the guy who got her friend's heart or whatever. And they're consistently helping people who are not passengers. So it was in keeping with what I expect to see on the show. It wasn't that hard, but, you know, it was okay. It's a decent show. You're right. Emergence is better. And these people are maddening. But, you know, it's they're doing an okay job with this show. There have been so many shows like this that have sucked so much, right? And this is at least decent.
Very true. I'm pretty sure for you too. I think the biggest problem with the show is the acting. It's more so the writing, because I mean, for most part, these actors are doing what they're given to act.
Yeah.
The writing is up and down. I mean, there's times, it's like, we talk about Emergence, how great the character development is and how every, meshes together and how believable they are in his family and everything. It's just so up and down with this show. They're so focused on the mystery that they forget that if we don't care about these people, the mystery doesn't mean shit.
Yeah. I mean, Emergence does have, just a higher caliber of actor, which is not, I don't want to denigrate these people. The acting, I've seen worse acting on television, but these are not the, Alison Tolman is a fantastic actress, and, Donald Faison and Clancy Brown are actors that have been around a lot and, done some great stuff. And there's just a little bit more of a senior acting crew on that show, which I think is really helping with the family characterization. I do think the young woman who plays Olive is one of the stronger actors on this show.
Yeah. It's just the writing for what they want them to do is inconsistent. Just like we talk about with Olive, it doesn't, her actions didn't make sense.
Right. She just went she went off the deep end, and Jared, while we never maybe were crazy about him, he's gone totally over the edge. I don't know what happened with the writers, have gone a little cuckoo.
I'm just waiting for the moment when he realizes and remembers that he still has a wife. Because two episodes in, he hasn't even mentioned her.
His wife also left him or something. I know she was pissed when she kind of realized that.
I know
she was
pissed, but I don't. But at least something.
At least acknowledge that he has a living wife.
And I'm curious to see if they forgot or keep up with. Remember, Michaela going to her friend's house, the one that died in the car.
Oh, the dead mother's. The dead friend's mother who has Alzheimer's. Yeah. That was nice. I mean, that really that was nice and helped to sort of
forget about that. Or if we'll see Michaela stop by or something again.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize, she's got all this other stuff going on, but
How did you feel about your most hated character, Grace, this week? She wasn't too horrible this week.
She's not my most hated because Jared locked himself in. You know. Unfortunately, Grace is another one. She's uneven from week to week. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't until like maybe the last two or three episodes of the season last year where I started to feel better about her, and I felt good. You know, I felt good about her to a point. But last week, I wanted to strangle her when she's like, "Oh, we don't have to tell Danny yet. We'll worry about that later." It's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, and now this
not
week.
Not cool, lady.
I didn't really give Grace much thought this week. Because she really,
okay.
I mean, other than her having the calling and having the conversation with Milo, she really didn't have a lot to do.
No, she didn't. I mean, she was sort of like, you know, she's so relieved that, I mean, she's so relieved that it's Ben's baby. I mean, she has ceased to be conflicted about Danny, which is fine. I mean, she, you know, made her decision and decided to stay with her husband. And
she's
I don't want to see a story where week after week after week she's,
you know,
like that's done. We can't watch that. Huh?
Because she's gone full bore into it. You know, she's like,
yeah,
you're my husband and that's that. You know?
Yeah.
I almost wish she was a little more conflicted. You know, it's like she's almost she's going overboard with it now. You know, she went from one extreme to the other almost.
Well, I mean, yeah, and she's barely pregnant, right? Like, if she just found out she's pregnant, although she's pregnant, although this week she seemed to be showing a little almost, like they made her almost have a bump,
yeah.
But. If she's just having the sonogram to confirm that she's pregnant, like last week, so I guess it's conceivable. Is it possible that a month went by in between these two episodes? But I mean, she's got to be in her first trimester, right? Is it 3 months ago that she was still sleeping with Annie? So it's basically 3 months ago that our friend came back.
Refresh my memory. Did she find out pregnant before or after the time jump in last week's episode?
Was she pregnant before or after the time jump? I mean, we found out, is this episode the second or the third episode this week?
This is the second episode. But remember, we had the beginning and then it said 2 months later.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes sense.
She must have been pregnant before, because if it's 2 months later,
yeah.
So it makes sense
yes,
that she has a bump because
yeah,
two more months have gone by.
Yes. That's what I was getting at. So,
okay, so
good.
She's top 6 months. I mean, she's not that big. She's top 6 months
yeah.
pregnant. Maybe her baby doesn't look that big, right? So she's not.
You mean that, 6 weeks? Or eight,
yeah, 6 weeks. If 2 months have gone by, and let's say that means all of first season was 1 to 2 months, right? So they're only home like 4 or 5 months from disappearing.
Yeah, they haven't even been home
right?
6 months yet.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess this baby is helping me to understand where we are in the progression of the storyline.
Yeah.
And that it's faster moving than, like, you know, we've been watching this show for a year and a half now, so we forget how fast moving it is for the characters.
Right.
And Tall Cal. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time. It's an okay show. Look, that we have watched so many of these shows that, you know, The Event and Flash Forward and what was that one word? Revolution. You know, these shows that started out so promising and couldn't keep it going. And
they couldn't get past season one.
The Passage couldn't get past season one, that had potential.
Yeah.
But this show has managed to go on and has a developing story and you know, they're doing a good job with it.
Which, not for nothing, is kind of refreshing to see because we, you know, the high concept show on regular cable television hasn't really been successful that much. I mean, Fringe was successful, Lost obviously was successful, but in the grand scheme of things, I mean, you just mentioned three. And they were all on NBC, weren't they?
I think they were. Yeah, I think they were all on NBC. You're right.
They were.
And
they were
all
on NBC.
Just didn't make it. Yep. And they couldn't.
So.
They couldn't make it, yeah. So, yeah. So, all right.
All right. Well,
so
anyway,
I guess that's
that is all
it for this week. Yep.
Yes.
All right.
So we'll do it again next week. Same three shows. I don't believe there's anything else we're adding to our list quite yet.
No,
like gonna be
I don't think so.
Happens.
No, I mean, until Westworld comes in March, we've got a few things coming back. Actually, if people are kind of wondering, I happen to be looking at IO9, if you read IO9, the website. They had a story yesterday that was every sci-fi show in 2020, what date it comes back or premieres, and like what platform it's on, if dates are known. So it was like,
cool.
It was meant to like pull some dates from that and see what's coming in, you know, the next 2 months, say, that we'd be adding to our podcast. So,
right.
So stay tuned. Right. That's what
yeah, unless
say
there's
is,
something forgetting
tuned.
About, I think unless there's something I'm forgetting about, Westworld is probably the next thing we're going to cover.
Yeah, there might be some stuff coming back that I can't remember, but Westworld would certainly be the next big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
And as I said, I'm going to try to rewatch it. So, all right.
Yeah.
So we can call it then, huh?
Week.
All right.
Do it again.
Have a good week. All right.
You too.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
I said, wait, don't add a link.